2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I love what Paul says here about this person who is now in Christ, who no longer reflects upon the things of the past, but is now reflecting upon that which he is, that which is in store from him for that person throughout the rest of his life. He says it is a new thing, a new life. What we find with this word new isn't in reference to time, but in reference to quality. It was once put like this: it was something not only new, but sufficiently diverse from what has gone before. If you were to consider your life right now, would it be different? Would it be of better quality? Oftentimes in our lives, we do this from time to time. We exchange the old for the new. Maybe your car isn't working the way it ought to, and it keeps breaking down. So what do? You get rid of the old and you replace it with the new. Many people may be renting and they're storing up for a new house. They're replacing something that is old with something new. But that is exactly what Paul says happens to us with our spiritual lives. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a better quality of creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become of a higher quality. Understanding that new means not just of time, but of a higher quality, then what things then are new for us? What things are of a higher quality? Well, this evening I want us to really look at what Paul says with this book of 2 Corinthians. We find first that we have a new position. Second, we find that we have a new character. And third, we find that we have a new life. First, let's consider this new position. You recall in the book of 1 Corinthians, a letter that is bewildered with many church problems. Brethren had not been acting like brethren. He calls for unity in chapter 1, verse number 10, to be of the same mind, the same judgment. But yet they weren't. They were so diverse, so at odds with one another. Some were filled with pride, while others did not even want to grow. Some had problems with the resurrection. Some had problems with the Holy Spirit. Some wanted to resurrect customs of man over the instructions of God. Some wanted to make a memorial feast, just a common ordinary meal. On and on they would go. And what Paul calls for is for them to reflect upon who they really were, who they really are. You see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 10 and following, he tells you, but you used to live like this. You used to be a fornicator, an adulterer, one who covets. You used to be like these things, but he says such were some of you. Showing that there was a new position that they had obtained. A new position that they had obtained. Brethren, when we start thinking about where we are, it ought to make us understand who we are. When we start thinking that if any man is in Christ, what do I have? I have a higher quality of position now in this life. Does that make me better than you or better than the world? No, it doesn't. But what it does make me understand is that I don't want that old anymore. I want to present this to someone else so that they can become new as well. And so we understand then that we are not in sin anymore, but we're in Christ. Look with me at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Romans 6, verses 3 through 6. We find what Paul says here to the Roman brethren. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man of sin, or that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. Now look what he says at verse number 17 and verse number 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servant of righteousness. You see, the position has changed. Where you were once positioned in a lost and dying world, a world that was full of sin, a world that was full of darkness, a world that was full of decay, now where are you? In a higher quality of place, aren't you? You're in Christ. Where you once were the servants of sin, you're no longer, because now you're in Christ. What would Paul say to the Colossian brethren? Look at Colossians chapter 3 for one moment. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4. I love what he says right here. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also appear with him in glory. What did he say? He said that we are dead and that we are hidden. The position then has changed. You recall what Christ said in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. When he's asking those that would come after him, he says, if any man will come after me, what did he tell us? That you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. That word deny isn't just simply to deny, to utterly deny, but I want you to hear what this says. But literally to have no recollection of oneself. To have no recollection of oneself. So if I don't have a recollection of oneself, then my position has changed. I'm no longer remembering those things that are sin, but I'm remembering who I am. I'm remembering that I am in Jesus the Christ. Therefore, I know that I'm not in this world any longer, but I'm in the kingdom of his dear son. You recall what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 in verse number 14. Colossians chapter 1 in verse number 13, rather. He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Literally, the position has changed. The position went from the world into Christ and his kingdom. Would you give that up for anything? Of course you wouldn't. Why? Because it's new. A higher quality. A higher quality. And with that then comes equality. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, Galatians 3 in verse number 27 through 29, look what Paul says there. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Where there's not really a lot of equality in this world that we were once in, but now we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Where there was pride, where there was prejudice, where there was biasness, where there's not any equality, what is there now in this new position? All are one. All are one. So when you consider that if any man be in Christ, consider the high quality of position that we now have. But then Paul goes on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, says something very beautiful here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We have a new character. This word creature literally means creation. Creation by the divine creator. Consider this for one moment. Yes, we've been fashioned and made by the maker's hands. But we've also been given that free moral agency. And we've made that high quality that we were once fashioned in low. We've made it become like that old car and it needed to be changed in. made new again. And therefore, Jesus the Christ, our God, has made us new through His blood. I want you to really see some verses here. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2 for one moment. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Notice what it says here. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." How is it that we have become His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus? Paul is telling us the same thing as he told the Corinthian brethren. He told the Roman brethren the same thing in Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. He says, "I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service." And then he said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." That metamorphosis, that ugly caterpillar into a beautiful creation, that butterfly. He tells us that the transforming of our minds, that we may be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that perfect, good, and acceptable will of God our Father. Here we find that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are to be transformed, not having the identity of old, but an identity of new. And who is that? Jesus the Christ. That's why we're hidden in Christ. That's why we're dead to ourselves. That's why we don't know ourselves anymore. The position has changed and the creation has changed. We are looked upon as our own dead and decaying selves. We're looked upon, should be at least, in a higher creation. When you consider Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, and probably one of the most overlooked jewels of the Bible, you see how it is that we become His workmanship. You see how it is that we become His new, that is, higher quality of creation. Notice what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10 and following. "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Consider this for one moment. Here we are able to have the operation of God, literally the working of God. What is that? When does that take place? Well, we know the great physician's hands operates upon us through baptism. That is the circumcision made without hands. And in that place, and in that moment of time, that is when the great physician's hands cuts away the sins of our lives. He cuts away, He makes us alive, He remembers them no more. Therefore, we have become what? The workmanship of God. We have become that higher quality of creation. We have that high quality of position. We have that high quality of creation, all fashioned by our Maker's hands. So then what does that give us? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17 and following. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And from that moment on, Paul begins to tell us exactly what that new life, that higher quality of life, should be showing. You see, our life gives us the identification, or gives people the identity of who we are. Why we stand in a new position. Why we are a new creation. And thus that life shows that. Now, how did this become? How did this new creation take place? Well, we've already seen it, but look what Paul says in verse number 18 and following. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because we have been created, that is, the new creation, notice what has taken place. Our sins were not held to our account anymore because of the reconciliation of Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ bought back that which was at odds with our God. Bought us back. And because of that, he presented and gave us a new life. Again, I ask you, would you go back to your old former days? If not, why? Because you would say, because this life is better, isn't it? You would say that this life is a higher quality of life because I don't have the stresses of sin upon my life anymore. Though we do sin, but if we confess our faults one to another and pray for one another, we will be healed because the effectual, fervent, forever righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. 1 John 1:1-7. We can see that because of this living, that this new life that we now have, it is a higher quality of life. But I want you to see something here. Sometimes it might be that we allow this old man of sin to resurrect. Sometimes it might be that we really don't understand what this new life entails, what it should identify, what it should portray, what it should be doing. Paul tells us, because you have had your sins not held to your account anymore, because you have been reconciled by Jesus the Christ, look at what you have been given. He says you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. He says you've been given the word of reconciliation. And you are the ambassadors, the spokesmen of God. So what do you do with this new life? How is it that I'm supposed to be living like this? And so many times, as we said, that old man of sin wants to rear its ugly head and say, well, I'm going to have my desires. I'm going to fulfill these things. I'm going to do what I want to do. But the new life, the new creation, the new positioned person in Jesus the Christ cannot and will not do it. Now I want you to see what the new creation should be doing. The new life should be showing. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. Since we have this new life, we're going to show that we have a new purpose. And this new purpose is seen in 1-2. He says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and a day of salvation have I succored thee or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What is the new purpose? The higher quality of purpose? Is it our own desires? Is it what we want? Not at all. Not at all. He says that we should be living and doing this ministry of reconciliation. But notice what he says then. He goes, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. What is that grace? Think about it. What is that grace? Go right back up to 17-21. You see the grace. The fact that our sins are not held to our account. The fact that we have the reconciler, Jesus the Christ, who became sin for us. You see, the grace of God is the reconciliation of Jesus the Christ. The grace of God is that new position that we have, the new creation that we have become, and the new life we have been granted. That is the grace of God, brethren. And when one starts considering that grace, then one will never hold it in emptiness, in futility, in vanity. It's not going to be looked at as worthless, is it, any longer? But you can ask yourself a very important question. How is it then that I view the grace of God? Because the new man, not the old, the new creation, not the old, the new life is going to present the grace of God to those that have never known it or have removed themselves from it. Are we receiving the grace of God in vain because we're not living the new life that that new creation should be doing? Are we allowing the old man of sin to resurrect? You see, so many times we focus on morality things and morality issues. That's in here in 2 Corinthians 6. But right off the bat, what does Paul say? The main purpose of that new creation's life is to help reconcile. Is to teach in the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. To teach the grace of God. Now, brethren, if I am not doing it, if you're not doing it, and if we are not doing it, then the old man of sin is alive and the new man is dead. Are you living the new creation? Are you that new life, the higher quality of life? Or am I allowing the grace of God to become vain, to become empty? But notice what else he does. He lives. He literally lives by a new standard. The word of reconciliation. That's the new standard because it's a higher quality of standard. Many times you might say, well, sometimes I don't know if the world sees that I'm a Christian. Why? Is it maybe because I'm allowing the old man of sin to resurrect and they don't see that I'm living by a higher plane, by a higher quality of standard? You recall in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3 where the story unfolds about Adam and Eve. And we know that Adam is first told and then it's said again by Satan himself, though twisted by one little word, that thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, oftentimes it is the case that the child of God, or maybe not even the child of God, will often try to put or place something in an area that God doesn't even know. Notice what the tree of knowledge was called again. He says the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Where's the gray area there? It's not, is it? But many times that standard becomes flawed that we live by because it's the standard of our own selves. Many times we place and choose and pick what we want and what we don't want and try to twist sin to make it what it might not be. But nevertheless, if we live by the new life, if we live by the new creation and the new position that we have, then we're going to live by that new standard as well, that higher quality of standard. The Christian's life, brethren, must be exalted. The Christian's life must stand higher than what the world should stand. We shouldn't stand on a par basis, an equality basis with the world, that is, with our standard of living. But too many times we allow our old man of sin to be resurrected. Too many times we don't live by the new perspective anymore. In verses 1 and 2, you also see something here. Notice what it said. In verse number 2 especially. He says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, our perspective is urgent. And our perspective is opportunistic. That's the new life. Our perspective of our new life is urgent. It does not procrastinate. It does not put off for tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow's not even in the new life's vocabulary any longer. It does things today. What did Jesus the Christ say? What did Paul say? Today is the day of salvation. The old man will always say to the neighbor, I'm going to wait till tomorrow to talk and present the grace of God to you. The old man will always say to the parents who don't know Christ or who have forsaken him, I'm going to wait for tomorrow. But the new life, the new creation, the new position person that is in Jesus the Christ is always going to say, today is the day of salvation. I love my grandmother to death and she's departed this life. But she taught me so many great things. And one of the things that I wish I would have learned how to cook like she did. But oftentimes she would use food as an illustration or the cooking of the food. And she said, honey, you remember what James said in James chapter 4, don't you? I said, well, what are you talking about, Grandma? She goes, about the vapor, about life being like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. I said, yeah, Grandma, I remember that. She goes, well, I want you to look at that pot there. Well, you know, I'm boiling y'all some corn. Do you see your life? I said, no. She goes, exactly. And what she was doing was she was pointing to the vapor there that had just vanished away. And she made me understand that my life is like that vapor. My life is only here for a little while. Therefore, that new life that we have by the grace of God been given doesn't put off for tomorrow what it can do today. It's opportunistic. It sees the urgency in things. It sees the urgency in things. You go back to the book of Exodus. When God tells Moses there that the Passover, the death angel is going to pass over all those that have the blood on the doorpost. But on each person's house that doesn't have the blood, well, the death of the firstborn is going to be there. Do you think Moses had an urgency with that message about the people needing the blood of the Lamb upon the post? You better believe it. Now, brethren, as new creations, as new lives, understanding the grace of God, knowing what it means to be reconciled to God, do we see the urgency as well, like Moses did, to show how to have the blood obtained upon their lives so that they can literally be passed over? The new life, brethren, does not put off for tomorrow what it can do today. The new life sees the urgency and the opportunity that God has placed there. I love what Paul says. My mind's not working and I can't remember where it is per se, but I remember that he said, you know, I was going to come unto you, but a door of opportunity was presented. And so Paul took it. Paul understood. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But what we find is Paul understood the meaning of life. Paul understood the brevity of life. And brethren, he understood that his life was new. He didn't live for himself any longer. He saw the urgency therein. But we also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 10, that with this new life, it had a new character. It wouldn't give an offense to the ministry. It would be an urgent and observable living. It was through the internal, the external, the mental, the experiential tribulations, in every facet of the setting of life that Paul was going to live. And thus he tried to motivate his brethren in 2 Corinthians as well. He wanted them to show and understand that their life had to present a new character. Look what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. One of the verses that I try to tell our youth every single day. But brethren, we need to hear it all the time as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." Now, many translations might say to the believers. It's not right. It's of the believers. We'll understand why in a second. "But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to the reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Now notice what he says in verse number 15. "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." This is the reason why Paul said, we're not going to give an offense. We're going to live by that new identity that we have. We're going to live like that new creature that we are. We're going to live in that new life that we have. We're going to stand upon that new position, that higher quality of position that we are in. Because we can help save not only ourselves, but also those that hear us. And in the same place, in the same time, he says that you're an example of the believers. So what we say and what we do are saying, Joshua, that's what you think as well. And that's what my God gives an approval. What you do and how you live, the character that you display is a statement. Is a decree before all that those that are like you live the same way. And that the learning that you gain this from was God Himself. Isn't then this new life much better? Isn't then this new life, doesn't it present a new character? Indeed it does. Whether mentally, whether emotionally, whether physically, whether socially, whether economically, whatever category of life that I am in, brethren, I'm going to be portraying that new life. I'm going to show beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am a new creature. That old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. But I want you to see one other thing before we close this evening. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11 through verse number 16, really through the end of the chapter, he says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. You're not straightening us. You're straightening your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Within this place, within this new life, what do we then have? We have a new home. We have a new home. We always sing, this world is not my home, I am just a passing through. But the new home Paul is talking about isn't this physical earth and isn't heaven itself, but is the Lord's church. That's our new home. That's our new place of abode. That's what that new position entails. Remember, we've been translated out of the world into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's the new position that we reside in. That's the new creation that we have become, because now we have fellowship with our Creator. That is the new life that we have, because we now have a new family. You see, brethren, isn't it the case that as to why brethren fall away, it's because they allow the old man of sin and all of its fellowshipping with the world to come around again and take hold and take them away? But yet the Bible tells us, what fellowship has the world with the child of God? It doesn't. So come out from among them and be ye separate. Meaning we live in the world, but we're not like the world. Our character is different. Our life is different. The people that we choose to hang around is different as well. When you consider the place that you are a part of, the temple of God, you recall what Paul said to 1 Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 16. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. He tells us, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. It's time we really start reflecting upon the life that we are, the new life that we have become. You remember the statement that Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, that we have become, that we are examples of the believer. That new life, brethren, entails entails that we live by that new standard. It tells us and tells one and all that these are the people. That these are the people that I live with. That these are the people that I associate with. That these are the people that I want to be around. Why? Because they live for a higher calling. They live in a higher quality of place. They live as a higher quality of person. They live in a higher quality of life. As Esau once did, we ask the same. What would you give in exchange for what you have now? What would you give in exchange for what you have now? There's nothing in this life that we should ever want because we already have it. But too many times we allow that old man of sin to resurrect. Stop it. Because Paul said, "All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Reflect upon what you really have today. Reflect upon that new place that you were in. Reflect upon that new character that you are. Reflect upon that new life that you have. And when you compare it to the old that you used to be, there's going to be no doubt in your mind, nor anybody else, that that is a higher quality of being. That is the person that we are. That is the people that we are. And when we understand that we have been reconciled by our God, we're going to understand then how beautiful the grace of God really is. And we'll never receive that grace in vain. Thank you for your attention.